You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin scientists are running experiments to better understand how the coronavirus functions. They're using animal models and research and other contagious diseases to try to make a breakthrough in this global effort to prevent COVID-19. Peter Hafman is a scientist at UW-Madison. He works with influenza and Ebola, among other diseases. He talked with WPR host Keely Boltina about studying the coronavirus and what researchers are doing under the microscope here in Wisconsin.
What do we know about mutation and this new coronavirus?
Right now, there's not a lot of mutations occurring that now have distinguished a certain strain of coronavirus from the original strain. So there's not a lot of mutation going on that we know for sure is changing transmissibility or pathogenicity of the virus.
When it comes to technology of developing a vaccine, then how are we using what we know about influenza to help us with the new coronavirus?
So our group in particular has come up with a technique to make influenza virus artificially. We're using that technique, which is called reverse genetics, to kind of modify the flu backbone. And we are inserting a coronavirus protein, the spike protein, which our immune system recognizes, into that flu backbone. So then we'll have a replication, single replication competent influenza virus modified to express the coronavirus protein. And that way we can make a vaccine that will hopefully protect people from both influenza virus and this new coronavirus.
Is it possible that we might not actually be able to develop a vaccine against the virus that causes COVID-19?
We will. The thing to remember is that these first vaccines are going to come out, you know, hopefully by the end of this year, early of next year, most likely not going to be the best vaccines. We're kind of using technologies we've had in place for other vaccines, and we're kind of implementing with this coronavirus vaccine. And when I say they're not the best, it's going to be a vaccine that you're going to have to get a prime immunization and then a boost immunization, and maybe even a third immunization to be completely protective. So we kind of want to modify these vaccines down the road so that they only require one vaccination, and that will help reduce the amount of vaccines we need to make for the world.
Peter Hafman is a research associate professor at UW-Madison. We're talking about research happening here in Wisconsin as labs rush to understand the new coronavirus and figure out how to fight it. This is the Ideas Network. Peter, what have we found out about animal transmission and the new coronavirus?
We were hearing stories several months ago about humans transmitting the virus to cats, and that's kind of something that we became interested in with our research, and it showed that once a cat was infected, it easily transmitted the virus to naive cats. And the cats in our study were healthy, and they never, besides having coronavirus, they were healthy, and they never showed any signs of illness. So there is definitely the possibility of some domestic animals like cats, and now we're hearing dogs getting infected with this virus. So they could serve as a minor reservoir for this virus or intermediate host for this virus. And that's something we should kind of keep an eye on.
What have you found out about hamsters?
We developed a hamster model for infection. And this was mainly for using for vaccine and antiviral or countermeasure research. We need an animal model to test these vaccines and antiviral drugs. So we developed a hamster model, and we are aiming for an animal model that really recapitulated what was going on in humans. And the golden Syrian hamsters that we used had very high virus replication in their lungs and only in the lungs, just like was happening in humans. And we see a lot of damage to the lungs because of infection, and we also see pneumonia in these lungs. So it's a great model to kind of look at vaccine development and antiviral development because they really mimic the infections we see in humans.
We've heard a lot about antibodies. Can you talk some about plasma therapy? What is that?
Yeah, that was part of our hamster study, too, and there's actually a study going on here at UW it's a very old technique that people have used, that they ask people who have recovered from infection to donate blood. And then the cell parts of the blood is centrifuged out, leaving the plasma that's left. And inside that plasma are antibodies. And a portion of those antibodies are specific to the coronavirus, and they're actually called neutralizing antibodies. So these antibodies in this plasma from healthy people that have recovered from the virus can actually bind to the surface of the virus and don't let the virus get into your body and then protect you from infection.
What do we need to know next to figure out if that works when it comes to the virus that causes COVID-19?
So there are clinical studies going on, healthy people donating their plasma. In the lab, we can tell that the plasma from these people have really good antibodies in it that neutralize the virus. So now it just will need a couple months for clinical testing to see if this actually can be transferred from one person to another person, the plasma and the protection antibodies that are in that plasma. In the lab, we've done this with hamsters. We infected hamsters, let them recover from infection, and then took their plasma and transferred that to naive hamsters, infected them. And they were fairly well protected from the virus.
We've seen conspiracy theories, some fear about where and how this disease started. What do you make of the public's response and understanding of this virus right now?
That's a good question. Before we got into coronavirus research, our main research is actually with Ebola virus. We spent a good portion of 2 years in Sierra Leone and West Africa during that outbreak. And we hear the same thing, too, with Ebola virus, that, you know, it's something that's a lab that came out of a lab that came out of a government. And now we actually heard this in the United States from people, and it's discouraging. It might be the fact that people don't know people that have been infected or have been negatively affected by an infection. So we just hope that there's enough education out there for people to believe that this is not a conspiracy and that it should be taken serious. And I think by the numbers that we see here in the United States of the number of infections and records we're seeing in certain states for hospitalizations and deaths, that there really needs to be a push for public education on this virus.
Peter, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And that was researcher Peter Hoffman talking with WPR host Keely Baltina there. They were discussing research here in Wisconsin on the virus that causes COVID-19 and how likely it is that scientists can develop an effective vaccine and soon. Coming up, Keely talks with a journalist about disinformation. Last week, Facebook and Twitter said they had removed accounts linked to Russian state actors who tried to spread false stories about racial justice, the Democratic presidential campaign of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and President Trump's policies. We look at the spread of disinformation that is false and deliberately does harm to a person. That conversation is in just a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.